Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're having a good Thursday wherever you are. Minimal Packers news so far today, though, you know, they do like to tend to do these things and pull the trigger late in the afternoon. So who knows? Maybe something materializes while we're chatting live. But as it is, all quiet on the Green Bay front with free agency, the legal tampering period set to kick off on Monday. Packers still have some decisions to make, and none of them are as tricky as whether or not to bring back TJ Slayton. I do not doubt for a moment that TJ would get a pretty decent deal out on the open market, but he is a very one-dimensional player and a guy who, clearly for a team that needs desperately to upgrade its pass rush up front, Slayton's not really your answer there. However, where he is key and was a major contributing factor last season was with the Packers' much-improved run defense, something that the Packers were able to really kind of hang their hat on through much of the, especially the second half of the year. He really is kind of a fulcrum upon which the entirety of the defense swung in 2024. And if you don't believe me, shout out to Justice over at Acme Packing Company for breaking this down. It's something that, you know, feels correct when you kind of go back and watch the balance of the year, go back and rewatch the games. When Slayton's on the field, they're a hell of a lot better against the run. And it feels kind of easy to say, but the numbers bear it out. Slayton himself played just under 40% of the snaps all told last year. In that 40%, when he is on the field, Green Bay allowed just 3.4 yards per carry and a 33.8% rushing success rate allowed on the ground. When Slayton was off the field, those numbers jumped to 4.4 yards per carry and a 59.8%. rushing success rate. Now, I don't have to tell you, that's a pretty significant jump. Holding an opposing offense below 4 yards per carry is a big win. That's a big win for a defense. But you get almost 5 yards per carry when he's off the field? That's problematic. That's winning offense. That's a pretty dramatic shift. Now, of course, the issue for the Packers was that teams understand the Packers personnel. When TJ is out there, yes, it's going to be a little tougher to run the ball, but this is a prime opportunity to throw on early downs. And look no further than the passing game, the passing defense, where the Packers allowed just 5.8 net yards per attempt and a 40% dropback success rate in 2025 when he was off the field. Now, when Slayton was on the field, clearly most often in early down situations, quote-unquote obvious run spots, those numbers jumped up to 7.6 net yards and a 58.1% dropback success rate, from 40% to almost 60%. That tells you all you need to know in regards to something we saw in the playoffs and pretty much throughout the entirety of the season when it came to the Packers' issues rushing the quarterback with only four. They were great when Slayton was there to stop the run. The run defense, as you guys know, top 10 in the league. Outstanding work in that regard, but it became pretty easy for opposing offensive coordinators to, oh, well, if they're going to go big, if they're going to play that big guy up there in the gap, well, we're just going to throw the ball because we know we're not going to get much of a rush up the middle of the field. Our quarterback's going to be able to be pretty darn comfortable in that regard. Now, obviously, that's, you know, something where you can look at the tape in particular and go down by down, game by game, and point out maybe an outlier here or there, but that is a pretty damning trend when you've got one player who so clearly is positive in the sense that he very much helps you stopping the run, but it's such a detriment in a passing league to have a guy who really does not give you much of anything when it comes to rushing the passer. Now, all of this said, there's still value there. I would understand if the Packers brought him back, but traditionally in this defense, and I asked Halfley about this last summer, and he was pretty dismissive of it because I don't think he's ever going to say, you know, anything negative about his guys. But traditionally in this scheme, that style of defense that Halfley wants to run, it's an outlier of a body type. Big run stuff and type nose tackle is not what most teams have utilized when running this scheme. Now, that doesn't mean that if you find a big guy who can do both, say, obviously stuff the run the way Slayton does and is athletic enough and explosive enough to get up after the quarterback, yeah, that's gold. good luck finding them. Now, maybe this draft class would present somebody where you can bring them in and they are able to do a little bit of both, at least right out of the gate. It is one of the deepest defensive tackle classes we've seen in a number of years. But more often than not, traditionally, that is a position that takes some time for guys to be effective and to be productive. So I do not envy the decision-making here for the Packers, where on the one hand, yes, it feels really obvious to say, no, we got to move on, don't allocate resources there. But man, your run defense is really going to suffer. And that is something, again, that you could really hang your hat on. And you were able, when teams were trying to run the ball, to get them into favorable down and distances for your defense, second and third and long, because of your work on early downs in the run game. So like I said, it's a tough call. My suspicion is they will let him hit the market and hope that nobody gives him a deal that they can't compete with. But we've got some time. We've got, you know, a lot of ball game left as it is, all day tomorrow and through the weekend before the legal tampering period opens up on Monday morning. I don't envy the situation the Packers find themselves in, because he is a quality player who certainly all players have value. He certainly has value in certain areas, but trying to allocate resources cap wise to such a specialized player, one who, again, when he's out on the field, pretty much know what you get. And if you're an offensive coordinator, you can scheme up advantages there. That's a tough one. For me, that's a tough one. We'll see which way the Packers go. Like I said, though, I suspect they'll let him hit the market and see what happens and allow him the chance to kind of find a deal out there and hopefully give them a chance to match it. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody chatting it up here. We got Dennis saying hello. How are you, Dennis? Gary Bishop, how are you? What's going on in Indiana? Andrew Ware is here right off the bat with a super chat. How are you, man? Surprised no move on Debo or Kirk given the low prices they went for. Young makes a world of sense if we can sign him for a reasonable amount with a lot of incentives for playtime. Thanks. Go Pack, go. No move on Debo or Kirk. No, not at all. Those aren't the types of receivers that they need. Debo in particular is coming off a pretty down stretch here these last couple of years. He has been really banged up, and it's not like he gives you an aspect that you don't really have in the receiver room. As for Kirk, I think he's a fine receiver, but again, I don't understand the desire to give up assets for somebody who, you know, yes, is a accomplished NFL receiver, can certainly hit the ground running as far as having played in the league and knows how to read defenses and is certainly going to probably pick up the playbook. But you've got plenty of guys as far as running your offense. You need a very specific type, i.e. the DK Metcalf, i.e. Christian Watson type, of which there are very few. They don't need more guys to take snaps away from the likes of Dontavian Wicks or Romeo Doubs. Jaden Reed does a lot of the stuff that you would be asking Debo to do. So I just don't, yeah, I'm not, there's no surprise there at all, at least not to me. Joe, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Seems like this is a good draft for replacing Slayton. If you had to choose between keeping Myers or Slayton, who would you choose? Oh, 100% Slayton. If that is the choice, I don't think it is, but if that is what you're sitting there, say they've got it up on the whiteboard in the conference room, they say, you must choose one, I choose Slayton. I think they have, you know, maybe not plenty of, but they have options in-house, if not in the draft, to replace Josh Myers. I don't see a replacement on hand so far for Slayton. Now, maybe there is a guy in the draft who can come in and do what he does. But again, traditionally, that's a position that takes a year or two to acclimate to the NFL and really become someone who is giving you quality reps and quality snaps game in and game out. Rai, how are you, man? How did Halfley slow down Philly in the playoff game? They were very good against the run, and that is a run-centric team. Thing you always got to remember with the NFL, because this is something you see a lot, especially in season, is, well, we beat this team or they beat that team, so ergo, this means X, Y, Z when it comes to this matchup. It is driven. It is a league driven by matchups. And the Packers defense matched up pretty darn well with the Eagles because they are a run-centric team and because the Packers play good run defense. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to defend the pass. Of course you do. But you saw how the Eagles were able to take advantage there early with that call where, I mean, Hurts had, what, 7 seconds to throw the ball? I mean, you're always going to be able to get open if you have 7 fucking seconds. But more often than not, they played a lot of dial-up coverage. They had really good athletes at all three levels. And I think Hafley did a really nice job of mixing things up coverage-wise to keep Hurts kind of off kilter and off his game. I do think there is something to the idea. I don't think this is why the Packers, you know, played good defense and kind of kept things under wraps for a while in that game. But I do think there is something to the idea that Hurts, that was his first game back, right? And there was a bit of rust factor. I think that's a component, no question about it. But for the most part, I thought they did a decent job up front. Now, yes, late in the game, you know, Barkley ripped off that big run. You're never going to be able to stop that team in particular for four whole quarters, right? But for the most part, they got them, kept them in advantageous down and distances for the defense. And Hafley did a really nice job of mixing things up on the back end. Now, that doesn't mean that they, you know, obviously the Eagles still got theirs at times. The worst call for me was the play that ended up as a touchdown to Goddard, where they just went, they showed zero. I mean, they didn't even hide it. And Hurts had to make just the easiest adjustment in the world to get the ball out to Goddard. And he's one-on-one there with the corner, making Valentine look silly. Yeah, I don't even put that on Valentine. I put that on Hafley. But those are the types of situations that he'll learn from, much like that end of the game against the Bears. First-year defensive coordinator in the NFL, there are things you got to learn. You cannot make that call, especially in that situation. I mean, it was a very easy adjustment. So, yeah, they played well. They did well in that game. But still work to do, no doubt about it. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Do you think that Bear fans realize that when they are telling me how impressed they will be, that my mind has glazed over and I'm trying to remember to buy dental floss? Ed, that super chat was a trip. That was a journey. Yeah, I'm sure they're lost in their own world. That's kind of where Bears fans live. And there's, you know, that's let them live there. This is their time to shine. It's the off season. And it's kind of funny because of the fact that the NFL has the longest off season of any major sport. Bears fans kind of got a good gig going because they just get to sit there and talk their shit all off season before the regular season rolls around and inevitably beats them down. Well, then you get to the off season and that's their time to shine. And it lasts way longer than anything else. So, you know, for the Bears and their fans, it's kind of a great place to live. When you're the off-season champs, and the off-season is longer than anything else. It is what it is. Bumpa, this sounds unfortunate. Hey, Nags, every day at 4 o'clock Central, I tell my wife I've got to go down to the Packer room to see Nagler. She is determined, by beer consumption, that you are living in my basement. Bumpa, you know, I would say I've come a long way since people used to use that insult all the time, you know, blogger in your mom's basement kind of thing. But hey, man, if they want to transfer me from mom's basement to Bumpa's basement, I'm good with that. Absolutely love it. Rai, yes, this is a serious consideration. It's very well stated. Very astute, to use a LaFleur word. Signing Slayton takes some heat off having to backfill along the defensive line in the draft. Yes, and I do think that is a component of the conversation they will be having this weekend because, to your point, one of Brian's kind of MOs throughout his tenure as GM has been to make sure that he's not boxed in by need. And by keeping Slayton, that certainly would enable him to let the board come to him rather than having to reach and trying to make sure he gets a certain type and or a position. That's definitely part of the conversation. Absolutely. Aaron Harper, you didn't finish your sentence here. If the Packers trade for DK and give up Walker and fourth round, I'm imagining you mean pick, what happens, Aaron? Does the earth fall into itself? If the Packers trade? Well, then they've got DK Metcalf and they're cooking with gas, and I bet Jordan Morgan is probably your starting left tackle, at least heading into camp in the offseason, I would suspect. But we're a long way away from there. I did see Peter posit that idea earlier today on Twitter, the idea of, you know, everyone's talking about having to send a wide receiver back. Possibly Peter's point was maybe they offer up Rashid Walker. I'd be shocked if they went that route. I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, it's funny because in his kind of multiple tweet tirade about it, where he's talking about, you know, well, you know, most teams don't have great depth and most teams are like this as far as they don't have quality starters, etc. Yeah, and the Packers have worked real hard to make sure that they're not one of them. They're like a shining beacon on the hill when it comes to offensive line play, and they still had injuries strike in the playoffs and take them apart. I mean, they're offensive linemen are way more precious in my mind than wide receivers are. And I'd be very surprised if they gave up a starting left tackle and a premium draft pick to go get a wide receiver. That would floor me. Ben Green. Yes, the other NFL news of the day. Packers should trade Jair and Dobbs for Hendrickson. I just don't see somebody wanting to take on Jair's contract in a player-for-player trade, even if you did throw in Dobbs. Mostly that's boiling down to what Ted used to say. This isn't fantasy football. Now, that said, Hendrickson is a going concern. Like, that's someone I do not doubt for a moment that the Packers will be inquiring about. Or at least maybe, you know, his representation will call the Packers because the Bengals have given them permission to seek a trade. But yeah, that's a dude. I know he's older. I know he wants to get paid, as he should. But man, that's a dude who gets to the quarterback. And that's a guy who enables you to make sure you're getting home with four. Like, there is zero doubt. You put him opposite Rashawn Gary and you can cook. Yeah, that's a guy that, without question, I think the Packers will be in on. Now, do they outbid everybody? Do they land him? That's another consideration. But that's no doubt the type of player they would be going after. Packer owner, that's a fair question. Is Khalil Mack still an option? Would you rather have Hendrickson or Mack? I'd rather have Hendrickson, but either one would be great. And I do think Mack will be more affordable. You won't have to give up a pick for him. I'm not sneezing at Khalil Mack. Let's put it that way. But of those two, if I had to choose, yeah, Hendrickson. Absolutely. Bumpa, that's a very fair point. A solid line makes wide receivers and quarterbacks look great. I mean, not always. You can have a great offensive line, and sometimes that opponent is still really good at what they do and gets you in bad spots. But yes, it definitely makes people's lives easier in that regard. As far as a quarterback trying to survey the field, wide receivers, time to work downfield and get open. It all starts in up front, and yeah, there's little doubt, again, in my mind, that the Packers will greatly value Rashid Walker to the point where I would be very, very surprised if they threw him in as a trade consideration. Jaibek, thanks for checking out the stream. Green Bay has criteria for player size. Have they changed that to change with the changes in the NFL? It's really hard to get specifics on this, but yes, as the years go on, you know, obviously Brian references it quite a bit. His time in the NFL, he has, you know, been in Green Bay for most of that time. Now, he did, you know, a stint in Kansas City and things like that, but you know, most of the time he has been in Green Bay under either Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, before he took over the show. And in those 30 plus years, yeah, they've had, you know, their set thresholds, if you will. And he always talks about it because it seems like he gets asked about it every offseason, but he has talked many times about each and every year they do, you know, a review of their process and make adjustments to kind of try and keep up with the league, so to speak, and where it might be going or it might be headed. But that's no doubt something that's an ongoing exercise each and every year. No question about it. Warbanger. What a name. Any updates with the beer? Haven't heard you mention it in a while. Well, grab yourself an ice cold can to carry the G. How's that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually it winds down after the season's over. It will be picking back up, though. There'll be a new kind of flush batch in the Green Bay area, especially for the draft. But if you can find it, get it. I mean, well, who wouldn't want something creamy and cold from the land of the green and gold? In fact, I think I heard a song like that once.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
You know what? You're right. It's been a while since I played that. So thanks for the reminder. Stoney Grant, good question. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, I want to say, here on Daily. Think tight end is a lock or a look in this draft? Musgrave on the hot seat. I don't think hot seat is the right way to put it, but they definitely need something from him, right? I mean, this is entering year three, and you don't really know what he is because he hasn't been able to stay on the field. You certainly see the explosiveness. You've seen glimpses of it. It's fast as hell, right? We can get up the seam, be a hopefully a somewhat of a matchup problem for defenses. They just haven't gotten him on the field consistently enough because of injury, right? Now, that said, yes, I would be very surprised if they don't look at tight end in this draft. Not necessarily that they would get away with one, come away with one, but I do think especially a move tight end, one of those guys like Lovett, who they had on the roster for a little bit, or even some of the kind of hybrid joker types where you're doing a lot of different things, lining up at fullback, being able to move across formation, working out of the slot, and then coming in line and helping with a particular defensive end, things of that nature. I'd be surprised if they don't at least look at it, because I do think they, if for nothing else, they need bodies there in that room. You know, you've got Ben Sims, you've got Tyler Davis coming back from another season-ending injury. It's not a lot of dynamic presence there, right? I don't think they're going to break the bank for it. I don't think they're going to spend a premium pick on it, but I do think it's certainly a position that I would suspect they add there. If not, even if not in the draft, like probably undrafted free agency or something like that. Still on tap in the Milwaukee area. That's what I like to hear, Steve. We got on the boots on the ground reporting right there. That's good stuff. Carry the G needs a draft and develop line. Get it? We're going to go one beer at a time here, but yes, hopefully someday we will be making multiple versions. That would be great. Carrie. It's an excellent question, Carrie Bishop. Nags, will Cheesehead TV get Murphy for an interview before he rides off in the sunset? I'm doubting it, given how much my co-founder has cussed him out on camera into a microphone over the years. I just don't see it happening. But I did see Mark at the Combine, said hello, was very pleasant. But yeah, I don't see that happening before he bids us all adieu as the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers. But hey, crazier stuff has happened. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Patreon members, Care of the G Club members, don't forget, happy hour is tonight. I had to move it from last night. Thank you for your patience. Tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time. Make sure you check the respective pages for the Zoom info. Everyone else, please hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.